Mark chapter number 14. We're going to continue on going on through the Gospel of Mark, but we're going to be doing that for the most part in Sunday school class. And our Sunday morning service, we're going to begin a series this morning talking about the furtherance of the gospel and spending most of the time in the book of Acts, because that's where we saw the furtherance of the gospel. Not going to go verse by verse type thing, but we are going to go from thought to thought of the different times when we saw the gospel just be spread. That's going to be in the Sunday morning section. So we're going to, between Sunday school and maybe some Sunday nights, but mostly Sunday school, we're going to be looking at the rest of the Gospel of Mark as we're there and we're in the garden right now. Let's go over a couple different announcements and then we'll get in. Let's see here. Business meeting on the 28th. Girls and ladies tea. That's May 4th. That's from 11 to 1 o'clock. There's a sign-up sheet out there for that. There should be a handout inside your bulletin, too, and we'll give you some more details about that in the morning service. Outreach Saturday is May 11th, and I know that is the same weekend as Mother's Day, but there is something scheduled for the most part every single weekend besides that, and we want to have something so we're encouraging people come out. May 11th will be done. It starts at 10 a.m. Usually we're back at church by 11:30. We have a small lunch that's there for anybody who wants to be there, but we want to go out and do some outreach that day. Men's retreat, that is May 16th through 18th. Encourage you, this is for those that are 18 and above that regularly attend our church, and it's in Tennessee, the Brother Barnhouse. This is open to, you don't have to be a church member, get somebody who regularly attends, and we think we're going to have a wonderful time. I know it is a couple days. I know some people are going to have to get off work, things like that, so it does not work for everyone, but I think it's going to be a time of spiritual refreshing and also physical refreshment, and we're going to have a meeting about that once we have all those sign up by the 28th. Church picnic, May 26th. Helping with the cost of teen camp is in there. The dates for teen camp, dates for junior camp are on there. We always need help for junior camp. We do junior camp here at our church with our young people. The younger ones, they only stay during the daytime. Those that are a little bit older, they stay during the evening times and stay all night long. We have a good time. It's lots of times we start on a Sunday night during the evening service, go all the way to Wednesday at about 1 or 2 o'clock, or maybe sometimes noon. We'll give all those details out to the parents about that. But if you'd like to help with that, we do different activities. There's different teachings. There's help with cooking, all types of things that where people can get involved and help us with that. We've done that for the last 2 or 3 years, and it's been a great success, and looking forward to another great year of junior camp here. Okay, so Mark chapter number 14. Studying, looking, reading. I can be honest to say with this, we've gone through the Gospels before. We've looked at the garden before. But there's a verse that kind of stuck out in my heart and my mind, and a thought that I never really have ever preached on. We've obviously read the verse that goes along with it. But the thought there is found in verse number 42. When Jesus is there, he says, rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. So we'll paint the picture again. I think most of us know where we're there at. The disciples are there. He asks them to pray, watch, and pray. He takes the three disciples out, Peter, James, and John. He tells them to watch and pray. He gives them, as you see here, the overwhelming things he's going through in verse 34. He says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And then he goes and he falls on his face. We looked at that last week about the Abba Father. And then he comes back once. He sees them there and they're sleeping. He asks Peter, could you not watch 1 hour? He comes back again. They're sleeping again. Comes back a third time. They're still sleeping. And you think about it. The disciples fail Jesus here. He's teaching them something. He's giving them instruction, but the Lord was calling them to do something in their lives. He doesn't just throw them away just because they make a mistake. Instead, he tells them, even after the end of it, in verse number 41, and he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go, and lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. So what the thought that came to my mind in my heart today is thankful for new beginnings. Thankful for new opportunities. Thankful that even though we mess up, even though we fail, even though sometimes we get really discouraged, and I can only imagine how these guys felt. Even as days go along, Christ dies, he's buried, those couple of days, the guilt that's there. You ever felt guilty because of the sin that you've done, the things that you've done? I think that guilt and that sorrowfulness of our sin is what leads us to actually repentance. And the thought process here for me today in this message and this thought is, you know, you don't have to stay not watching. You don't have to stay not praying. Peter, James, and John goes, and what do? They turn the world upside down. What do those 11 disciples go and do? They turn the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not stuck on their past failures, not stuck on the fact that they all flee. They're not stuck on those things. Instead, Jesus doesn't just throw them away. He said, hey, you didn't pass the test. Because you didn't pass the test, I'm going to throw you out of here. I'm going to get you out of here. No. He's got a plan for them. He knows what they're doing, and he's teaching them. He's guiding them. He's directing them. He's showing them this. Hey, don't get stuck in the past. Yes, the past is the past, but God has a bright future for you. This morning in Children's Church, we had the opportunity to look at we talked about the walls of Jericho and how they walked around the walls six different times once a day. And the seventh day, they'd walked around seven times and they yelled. And we talked about God had a plan and a purpose for their life. They had to trust God. But God wanted them to go into the promised land. God had provided an amazing land for them. All they had to do was go and possess it. All they had to do was go in and possess the land, is what the Bible says. That's what happened. Is they walked around the walls. The walls fell down. You know, God was providing the land for them. But we had learned weeks earlier about their parents and grandparents and maybe grandparents that were there 40 some years earlier, and they're sitting in the same spot facing the same challenges. And what do? They chose not to trust the Lord. And instead, for 40 years, what do? They waste their lives. And here, these three men, specifically Peter and James and John, could you imagine what it would have been like, how embarrassing it would have been like that they would fell asleep in front of Jesus? Well, look at Jesus' response here. He doesn't say, forget them. He doesn't say to them, I'm going to just leave you behind. Judas is coming. I don't need to deal with you guys. No. What does he do? He tells them to rise up. He says, let us go. So today, as I was looking through this and as I was reading through these scriptures, I see a difference here in verse number 43. He says, immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And these verses that are back to back in verses 42 and 43, we see him speaking to the group here that are interested and that he wants to continue on working with. And even Judas, who's coming to betray him, he calls him friend. And another one of the gospel accounts, he's interested. Judas doesn't get his heart right. Judas doesn't repent. Judas goes to hell here in just a little bit of time. But Judas has, I believe, an opportunity to repent if he wants to. Yes, he became remorseful. Yes, he took the 30 pieces of silver and he went to the wicked people that were crucifying Jesus or had a good part in crucifying Jesus. But there's an option there. Where are we going to stay? What are we going to continue on doing? Are we going to be like Peter, James, and John? They're going to say, yes, hey, I made a mistake. Yes, I failed, but I can still serve God. Now, the devil is going to want to think you're done. The devil's going to do whatever he can to get you not to work. He's going to do whatever he can to get you not to serve. Either if you're a baby Christian, you're not serving the Lord because you're like, well, I can't serve him. Well, you know, there might be certain things you can't do yet. You know, when the Bible talked about a pastor shouldn't be a novice, meaning someone that's a new believer and someone who should be learning and growing. But there is something that we can all do. And the devil's going to try to convince you maybe you shouldn't serve because you haven't been saved long enough. Or the devil's going to try to convince you, like what he could do with James, Peter, and John here. Hey, no, you can't serve. You messed up. And even Peter kind of falls into that trap because Peter goes and denies him, which we're going to see in the next few weeks. And because of that, Peter's overwhelmed. Peter's thinking, there's no way God's ever going to use me. And even when Jesus rises from the dead, he says, go tell my disciples and Peter. He has to go in John chapter number, I believe it's 21, and recall Peter back into the ministry. He was believing the lies of the devil. And so when I see this verse, it encourages me, at least it encouraged my heart, that Jesus is here. He's near the end of life. Yes, these people have failed, and And Jesus is still wanting to bring them along. Look, serve where you're at, serve where you're at today. And I'm thankful that God is a God of second chances. I don't know, have you ever done anything that thought, I'm done. God's never going to use me ever again in my life. I cannot believe I did that. And then usually it's, I cannot believe I did that again. And I'm not making light of sin, because sin is wrong. Sin is bad. Sin is something we should repent of. We should turn away from. It's something that we should never, ever desire it again. But in our flesh, we see sometimes we repeat the same things over and over. And the devil will be like, you can't serve God. But look at these three. Look at the Peter, who most would be, I can't believe that guy ever denied Christ. I can't believe that guy ever cursed. You know, what many of us good independent Baptist preachers would be like, hey, he's gone. He's never ever serving God again. You know, and they would even use him as a sermon illustration. But who's the guy at Pentecost leading? It's Peter. And I want to encourage us today to remember, because the devil will do whatever he can to try to get you stuck. He'll do whatever you can to try to get you stuck right where you're at so you never serve God. One of the things the devil uses, he uses fear. The disciples here, they're afraid. Sometimes the devil will use friends to get you stuck. Whatever he can get you not to be growing, whatever he can get you not turning the world upside down or not reaching your Theopolis, not reaching your individuals you can. He'll do it. He'll use fear sometimes. And that's part of the things that happens here. We see that they're fearful. In Luke 24, 22, 45, he says, and he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples. He found them sleeping for sorrow. Sometimes because of sorrow, we will sleep when we should be watching. Sometimes we don't do what we should because of our flesh. You know, the reality is, if we give in to our flesh, he's not going to use us. Not the way he can, not the way he wants. Sometimes it's our failures. I've met many people who said, I can never serve God because of this. And sometimes we are disqualified from certain things in order to go on. And there are certain things that we just can't do anymore. But we should not let these failures stop us from serving the Lord. I begin just thinking in my mind of the different Bible characters. Think of the many, many Bible characters had failures, but God still used them in the future. And I'm not justifying the Bathsheba incident. I'm not justifying killing Uriah, but God still was able to use David later on after you see his heart was repentant and his heart got right. And we see different Bible character after Bible character. You can go back to Abraham. You can go back to many different Bible characters. As we mentioned Peter here, there's many different Bible characters. Joshua's lapse in judgment at Ai. Time in and time and out and all those different things that happen, God still uses people who make mistakes, and we want to understand that God is looking to forgive us and God is interested. Yes, we cannot recapture the past, but we must consider what the future is going to look like. We should want to make the future different. You can't deal with the sins of yesterday. Yes, you have to repent and get them right, but you do not have to live in those mistakes of last week. You have a new beginning. Every day you have a new day. You have a Lord that you can serve. You have a Lord that you can do things, and that's when he comes to him. He says, rise up. Me or you might have been saying, look, if they're sleeping, if they're not thinking it's important enough to watch, if they're not thinking it's important enough to pray, they can just stay right where they're at. And then when they wake up, they're going to be surprised when they see that I'm not here. They're going to wonder where I'm at. They're going to miss all these things. He doesn't do that. So there's a few things here. Rise up. And it says here, and it says, rise up, let us go. First thing I want you to think about is, you cannot be following the Lord Jesus Christ unless you're willing to rise up. You're willing to rise up from the things that's holding you back. Think about the prodigal son. What'd he do? He had a lot of things holding him back. But when he finally came to himself, what he did, he rised up and he went to the Father's house. So these three words I want you to think about. First thing I want you to think about, rise. The Lord Jesus gives him the invitation to rise. You see where they are, and he says, look, you got to stop where you're at. You need to rise up. You need to change. At this point in time, he wants them to be watching and praying. But for our own application, you need to see where we're at in our life. And the Lord's saying, hey, look, you can be right. Rise up. Get up out of that. Like the prodigal son, see where you're at. Get sick of where you're at. Be tired of the sin. Be tired of the things in your life. Rise up. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose for your life. And I love the thought that, yes, it's going to be something that is going to be challenging, but we got to remember, we need to get sick of our sin. We need to see our sin for what it is. It's holding us back for what God's plan is, and we need to be disgusted with it. We got to stop coddling it and say, and that's what Jesus says, rise up. Get up out of that. And next thing, not only does he say rise up, the word rise, but think about the word go. He says, rise up and let us go. Go, he is going with you. And but he's, where are they going? He says, look, we need to go forward. And this is one thing I think we should always remember. God is always advancing. I think it was Hudson Taylor. I had the quote here that the Lord is always advancing. Yes, God is always advancing. God is always wanting us to go forward. How about you in your Christian life? Are you going forward? I don't think you can stay neutral. Some people say, I'm just coasting. I'm just right where I'm at. I think you're there. And if you're not moving forward, you're going back. And your Christian walk, you can't say, well, I'm just not going to read my Bible and pray today. I'm just going to stay where I'm at. No, the Bible tells you to pray. He tells you to pray without ceasing. He tells you to meditate on it day and night if you want the blessed life. So it's not this idea of, hey, I'm just going to stop and stay. No, either you're advancing or you're falling behind. And here in the scripture, he's saying to them, look, rise up. And then he says, let us go. And that move is moving forward. Yes, the steps are going to be challenging. And Jesus knows what we're going to need that day. He didn't want them to stay in the garden. He didn't want them not to see what was getting ready to happen. He didn't want them. He's there. And he says, hey, he watches this crowd. And this crowd comes to take him. And what does he say? I am. And the whole crowd falls over. And they're there. And they're all experiencing. They're watching this. They see Peter come and try to cut off the guy's head and hits the guy's ear. And Jesus compassionately puts the ear back on. Everybody in that garden, including those 11, knew that Jesus was going with them. No one was taking them. If they were still sleeping, they would have never seen this. He says, I want you to rise up and I want you to get past this idea that you didn't watch and this idea that you didn't pray. You're going to have to learn that lesson. You're going to have to learn that lesson if you ever want to succeed. If you ever want to do what I've called you to do, you have to learn to rise up and watch and pray. Now we need to go forward. What's forward for Jesus? Going forward for Jesus was going with the mob and was going to the fake trial, which was going to the beatings, which was going to the cross, which was going to the tomb, which was going to rising to the dead and spending those 40 days. And then he sat at the right hand of the Father. You know, that was his going forward. What is our going forward? We're part of the greatest generation to ever live because we may be the generation that sees Christ return on the cusp of eternity. That's where we're at. And we're part of this story. God has a plan. It didn't begin at the cross. It didn't end at the tomb. Now, at the tomb, and when he's ascending, I think something is being interactive and something is being initiated. But before the foundations of the world, the Lamb was slain. The redemption plan was given. It was promised in the garden. All this time, now we are coming very, very close to the end. And we're part of this story. God's doing something. He's trying to finish what he's doing. And we need to move forward. We can't just sit there and say, I'm happy staying right where I'm at. I'm happy just living where I'm at and just living for myself and providing for my family. He's saying, I want you to rise up and I want you to go. I want you to do what he's called us, what I've called you to do, which is move forward. Yes, we might have failed him. And you think about it, even the best of the disciples failed him. But still, he says, I want you to rise up. Next thing I want you to see is not only you see the rise and the idea there's an invitation, the word go, which is a direction, which is going forward. But I want you to see that he uses the word us. Let us go. And this is probably the most encouraging thing to me. If we don't forget this, he's going with us. We don't have to go by ourselves. Probably my favorite verses, and there's the different great commissions. I think it's one great commission that's all together, but you see some at the end of Matthew, some at the end of Mark, some at the end of Luke, some in Acts 1:8, and all those different things, even the Gospel of John, some of the things that are written inside of that. There's a combination that fits perfectly together. But my favorite part of the Great Commission is, and when it says in Matthew 28, when it says in verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. He tells him, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. I am with you always. And that, he says, I want you to go into all of the world and I want you to preach the gospel. He's telling this group this. And most people are not going to stand before the 5,000 or the 3,000. Most are going to be people that are going to reach individuals. And we're going to talk about that in the Sunday morning, in the morning service, and how we need to, how does the gospel really get furthered? It really begins when we tell others. If we have an individual we're working on and that we're trying to teach and we're trying to reach, yes, there are people who get saved sitting in church pews. And yes, there's people who get responded, but there's always someone that has began a conversation. There's someone who has reached out. There's someone who left the gospel track. There's someone who picked that person up. There's someone who invited that person. There's always some type of individual that's in part of it. But here it is. Jesus says, I'm going to go with you. He said, I'm not leaving you to yourself. I'm giving you a command, but lo, I am with you always. And if we would just remember that and have that as a key in our lives, I'm not going out door knocking by myself. I'm not passing out that track by myself. I'm not initiating this conversation with this individual by myself. Lo, I'm with you always. If you're going to go and do what God's called you to do, he's going to enable you to do it. These disciples have royally messed up. And I don't know about you in your life. Have you royally messed up? I mean, I know there's been times in my life I'm thinking, man, that's it. I don't see how God could ever want to use me again. I don't see how, if I keep on struggling with the same thing. And that's what the wonderful thing about this verse is. Rise up. Let us go. He's saying, look, we got work to do. Yes, you failed. Yes, you messed up. But come on, let's get up. Let's get that right. Let's get that right with the Lord. He taught them a lesson. They learned a lesson. He brought them with him. He said, let us go. And so to me, that's something that is talking about not just the invitation and that they're and the direction they're going in, but look at who's coming or the participation. They might have messed up, but he's going to walk with them. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it, but he's still going to walk with us. He's still going to come with us. No, we don't deserve it, but let's remember that and let's remember who's with us. Also, the best of the disciples failed. The devil will tell you, you can't be used by God. The devil will tell you that, tell you God doesn't want to have anything to do with you. The devil will tell you, I'm done with you. That God doesn't want anything to do with you. Let's take this moment and this opportunity. Let's think about this. You can have a new beginning. You don't have to stay in your sin. He's giving you an opportunity to have victory. You have the ability to begin again. You know, I've seen people in our lives that they're stagnant. I've seen people who are stale. They're stuck. They have nowhere to go. They are just there and they look miserable. They're soured face and they just cannot. They cannot seem to get past it. There's a miserable place that they're stuck in. And oftentimes, if not all times, it's because there's some type of sin. There's something that they messed up on and they don't want a new beginning. And we got to realize the hope that's found in the Lord, the joy that's found in the Lord, the excitement that's found in what God has for you for tomorrow. Get past these things. I'm not saying get over in the fact that you ignore that it ever happened. No, you learn from them. That's when Peter begins to teach people how to pray when he couldn't watch and pray before. He tells them in 1 Peter, he tells them to be sober, to be vigilant. What's the difference there? He's saying that's what Jesus is saying. Hey, I want you to watch. I want you to be sober. I want you to be vigilant with me. I want you to watch me. But in 1 Peter 5:8, he tells you, hey, look, be sober, be vigilant for your adversary. He's telling them there's a difference there. What changed from here to over there? He didn't stay here. Yes, he struggled a little bit more because he did deny Christ and he did curse and he did all those things. He'd come to this moment and this time. If he would have stayed there, he would have sat out in that fishing boat and been discouraged for the rest of his life. But Jesus calls him back into a service, and that's what he's trying to do today is you can have a new beginning. You don't have to stay there not watching and not praying. You can learn. He says, rise up and let us go. You can go with me. I'm going to go with you. There's other people I've seen that have had wicked lifestyles in the past and they've messed up and they've been able to move on. someone that has the joy of the Lord, someone who's just going to serve the Lord, and someone who's just going to give themselves over to God and say, hey, I'm going to serve the Lord. And I understand that that happens at salvation. And hopefully, actually, there's always a change in our life when salvation happens. If there's no change, there's no conversion. There is a change. You become a new creature. But I'm talking about a Christian that maybe had wasted a number of years of their lives, and they've given over themselves a number of their years of lives to flesh, and they never really truly worked for God or served God, and they got out of that backslidden state, and they began to worship, and they began to serve. If you go and you read any of your hymn stories out of a lot of these hymns, you know, they were Christians sometimes that were backslidden, that God got a hold of their heart, and they became so joyful because they had a new beginning. They realized the same thing that Peter, James, and John did, and these other disciples. Yes, I failed at the garden. Yes, I fled and ran when Jesus was being betrayed and when Jesus was being robbed. But you know what happened? God still was willing to use me. I was able to get over that. I was able to understand that that was my past. That was a sin. Yes, I had to confess it. I had to get it right. I had to repent of it. I had to turn from it. But that does not guarantee my future. That does not dictate my future. I can live for God. And I met so many godly saints that have tell me, hey, look, there were times, and most people say there were times in my life that I slipped and that I failed, but that does not need to define me today. I can serve God today. I can live for Him today. There is nothing stopping me from not sinning today and not doing those things I feel like I have to. I can have a new freedom, and I can have a new beginning. So there's a fresh start that's available to you today. I mean, it's a fresh start. And that's what, when I look at this verse, like I said, I've gone through, I don't know how many times, the garden scene. But to watch Jesus turn to these men and says, rise up, let us go. I've always thought, you know, he was kind to them. He let them sleep. He woke them up as they were coming. As you look at the other ones, and he tells them, the one that, lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. I always thought about that, but I never thought about the thought, I would have probably just left them there. I mean, if they weren't willing to watch with me, why in the world do I want to take them along now? But I'm thankful that God doesn't leave us where we're at. He still loves us. He still convicts us. And even though we struggle sometimes, he has a plan and a purpose that is past anything we could even think about or imagine. And then I see in verse number 43, we meet this man, Judas. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas. And I see that Judas there. And we think about Judas and kind of causes your, I don't know, it just makes, it's just a disgusting name. Most people won't name their children Judas nowadays. And there's a difference there. Judas never, ever, and we're going to look at probably Judas next week a little bit, so I don't want to get too far into it. Judas never got it right. And that's the danger with religious people. They can sit and they can be part of a service, and they could even be part of a group. I mean, Judas was the guy who was kept the bag. He was a respected man amongst the disciples. He lived, he died, knew about Jesus, was intimate in the idea that he was walked with him for those 3 years. And still, he says how he kissed Jesus. Some people, I think it was a preacher I heard saying, he kissed the door of heaven and walked away. Because Jesus says, I am the door, right? He kissed the door of heaven and just walked away. Never had change. Now, I know that might not apply to many of us that would say, I'm born again, I'm on my way to heaven. And if you're not, if you're religious and you're playing a game, you're going to be in hell someday with Judas, no matter how much and how much good you do and how much you do, things you say, and people have that testimony. But my encouragement to many today that would say, I'm born again and a believer, don't stay in that darkness. Don't live in that funk. Don't just sit there and say, man, you don't know what I've done, Pastor, blah, blah, blah. God does. God offers forgiveness. God offers hope. You can have a new beginning even today. You do not have to continue on wherever you're at. And I love the fact that he brought these disciples along. And we're going to see the disciples later on. Once again, they're struggling here. It's going through a very, very difficult time. God knows our heart. God knows everything we do. God knows why we do it. Stop playing games. He wants us to rise up. Get up out of whatever that sin is. Be like that prodigal son. See where you're at and go home. Rise up out of it. Go forward. Move forward in your Christian life. And remember, Jesus is coming, is willing to go with you. Actually, not willing. Jesus is going to go with you, and he's going to give you everything you need to succeed. God has a bright future for you. You don't have to stay stagnant. You don't have to stay stale. He has a bright future for you. You can have a new beginning even here and now. If you got something going on, don't let fear, don't let friends, do not let past failures stop you from doing what God has intended for you to do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray as we look at this verse, I pray that we remember that these three in the garden, they failed. These 11, they did not watch and pray. And Lord, even though we would be so embarrassed, even though we would be so, as we're watching Jesus die on that cross, I can only imagine what was going through their heart. And I know it. The Bible doesn't even talk about any of them being there but John. But I can imagine from the distance that maybe some of them were there and they were watching and could not believe what they did. The remorse and the guilt and the lies the devil was trying to pounce on their heads and in their minds and saying, you're done. You're never going to do anything. Thankful for a God that still calls. Thankful for a God that says, yes, you failed, but you can have a new beginning. Thankful for a God that does forgive sins, Lord, when we confess them and make them right. Lord, help us not to be stale and stagnant inside of our Christian lives. Instead, Lord, help us to understand we can have a new beginning. We see these men and how they're going to transpire in the next few days. And then 40-some days later, they're there at Pentecost and they're preaching the word of God with passion and people are getting saved. Lord, help us not to stay where we're not watching and praying. Instead, help us to be like that 120 that was up in the upper room. And what were they doing? They were waiting and they were praying. They were watching. They were looking for the anticipation of what God was going to do. Lord, help us to be clean and right. Help us not to live in our past failures. Help us not to let those things define us. Help us to realize God has a bright future for us. And let us pass that along to those who may be sitting home today because they feel like God doesn't love them anymore because they failed him. They believed the lie of the devil that God doesn't care for them or can't use them. Lord, help us to all embrace the fact that we can have a new beginning even today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.